Hello and welcome to The Property Exchange, your guide to the latest news, views and opinions in residential property, with Winkworth, with you every step of the way in the property market. Your host is writer and commentator Anne Ashworth.
Hello and welcome to the Property Exchange podcast. This time, back to school to learn how educational establishments remain a key reason why the prime London neighbourhoods exert such a pull for buyers. In this episode, we're focusing on the prime London markets and in particular the schools in these areas. Some of these establishments are world famous, with parents more than happy to move if they have any chance to secure a place for their children. But are there bigger forces at play in the London market than the desirability of certain schools? With mortgage rates rising and likely to climb further, what is the outlook for property values in these neighbourhoods? To try and answer these questions, I'm joined as usual by Dominic Agace, CEO of Winkworth, by Melanie Sanderson, Managing Editor of the Good Schools Guide, and by Donovan Kelly of Winkworth Barnes. Dominic, Melanie and Donovan, thanks for joining us. Straight to you, Dominic. We need an overview of what's happening in the London prime markets in those gorgeous neighbourhoods like Kensington, Chelsea, the nicer bits of Clapham. Interest rates are rising and there's a likelihood of more. What's the mood out there?
So I think the mood is far perhaps more positive than one may read about, and certainly more has surprised sort of to the upside versus predictions sort of the end of last year, and particularly in the prime market where a lot of the buyers have significant amounts of cash and so less reliant on mortgages and obviously the cost, the increased cost that has come through those. So they fared pretty well. I think they, prime areas and particularly the areas we're sort of discussing today, so ones driven by schools and that desire to get your kid in the best possible school, perform fairly well all the time. You know, these are streets in areas that people rent to try and wait for a house to come up in. And so it's not so much driven by external factors because, you know, what is most important to most families is to get their child into the best school. And when that opportunity comes, you know, they will want to do so by getting the house in the right catchment area.
So schools rule, as they always have done.
Very much so. I think, you know, which comes first, the primary or the school? Well, I think probably the school. And you know, you just look around London at some of where the famous schools are and you sort of, the neighbourhoods are equally famous. You know, St Paul's in Barnes, Highgate School in Highgate where John Betjeman went. Then you've got the American School in St John's Wood. These are sort of internationally famous schools. So it's not only the domestic demand that's sort of supporting property in these streets within these areas, but it's also international people coming to relocate into London.
Now, are you getting any cash buyers prowling around thinking that current conditions could offer some opportunities?
I mean, certainly. I think there was a sort of expectation of that, but again, it's one of those things. People can be a bit disappointed because, you know, the people who are living in these houses in these streets, you know, are one, they're probably at the moment on fixed mortgages, as is a large part of the market, and so, you know, there isn't the immediate impact of interest rates. But obviously, they are, you know, second, third movers with significant equity in their properties, so slightly less exposed to the whims of changing mortgage rates. And plus, clearly, it is very important for them to maintain their home for their family. They are families living a life with their child going to local school, and you know they're not going to be keen to sell those properties. So availability is really the issue. You know, you may have cash, but there just simply aren't the houses coming up in these areas that one may want.
When buyers come to you, are there any particular schools that they mention as their, I'm going to use the phrase, must-have educational establishment?
I mean, I suppose the league table and Ofsted dictate that. So, you know, the most popular one, I think, currently, and Melanie will tell us more about that, is probably St Paul's. I mean, for for Americans. American school is incredibly popular too, but St. Paul's is clearly sort of top of the league tables most of the time from my memory and reading. And being a West Londoner myself, it's the one I'm most aware of. And certainly, you know, house prices around that area have increased significantly. And Donovan will tell us, you know, the people that move so that they are close to that school is significant, and it has a big impact on the surrounding area and the property prices.
Thank you for that. Now, I'm going to throw this open to Melanie and Donovan to get their particular insights. Melanie, you're the managing editor of the Good Schools Guide, which is the Bible of the sector. Is there a hierarchy of schools, establishments that parents prize above all others in London?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We at the Good Schools Guide, we review 500 schools across London, and undoubtedly, in the eyes of parents at least, there is a very clear hierarchy that exists. So at the top of the pyramid, as Dominic said, you've got St. Paul's, you've got Westminster, and then snapping very close behind them on their heels are schools like King's Wimbledon. For girls, you've got St. Paul's again, Godolphin and Latimer, and a number of others across London. So we've already mentioned Highgate, Latimer Upper on the co-ed side. And there is that definite hierarchy, but it's really important for parents to remember that those schools are ferociously difficult to get into. And even if your child does get a place, they're extremely competitive once they're in. So they really need to be able to keep up. And I personally think that parents should err on the side of great caution, upsticking and moving house on the hope that their son will win a place at St. Paul's, because the chances of that are statistically tiny.
Are there any state schools that people really, really rate in London?
Yeah, there are. London is blessed with some very good state schools. We've still got some academically selective schools. So the likes of Henrietta Barnett up in North London, which, you know, for a girls' state school is absolutely outstanding. Sends probably 35 girls off to Oxbridge every year. But again, you know, they will have up to 10 applicants for every place. So, you know, always be mindful as a parent that, yes, great to aim high for your child, but really, you know, you have to be realistic and you do have to put their happiness front and centre. But you've also got some very good non-selective schools around. So Greycoat Hospital School in Westminster is excellent. Camden School for Girls is really well known and, although non-selective, achieves fantastic academic results. And then, of course, for the Roman Catholic community, the London Oratory is also outstanding. So with those schools, again, places will be at a premium. You either need to be a regular churchgoer or you need to live very close. But if you can get that golden ticket, then undoubtedly you're onto a winner.
So it's almost like a military campaign to get your child into this kind of school. Have you got any stories of the lengths that people will actually go to achieve that aim?
Yeah, I mean, I think Dominic's already alluded to the fact that people will move house and buy properties in areas where they're hoping to educate their children. And absolutely, if you're looking at the state sector in London, that's particularly important. You know, around the more affluent areas are some fantastic state primary schools, for example. And when we lived in Clapham, parents were out with pedometers to double check their route to the school gates. And that was in the days when you had to wheel one along the road, by the way. So, you know, when you're talking about having to live within 250 metres of the school gates to get a place at somewhere like Honeywell in Battersea or the Hotham Primary School in Putney, yes, you know, people will pay absolute top dollar for the houses.
Now, we're talking about schools in built-up areas. Are there any parents who just long to send their children into places with really huge playing fields outside London in better air quality?
Absolutely. And this is a really interesting trend that has been emerging over the last, say, 5 to 10 years. So there are some excellent prep schools at that level outside of London. So the likes of Caldecott, Papplewick and Lambrook, which run minibuses every day from West London. So from places like Brook Green, Chiswick, Hammersmith, particularly, it's really easy to get out of London in that direction on the M40. So, yeah, the little ones, they jump on the bus in Notting Hill or wherever they live at 7:30. And by 8:15, they're amongst, you know, 25 acres of playing fields, rugby pitches, cricket squares, the whole works. And you know, that is a wonderful opportunity for those children. But it does come with a bit of a health warning. I mean, I think to put a seven-year-old on a bus, essentially making them a commuter every day to and from school is a big consideration, undoubtedly. And the other thing about those kinds of schools is they normally expect some kind of boarding, compulsory boarding, later on. So if your child is headed for Eton or Harrow or Wellington College, that's a great route if you live in London, because they're getting used to that whole prep school boarding environment, but it's a long day for them.
So London parents who still want their children to board, as weekly boarders, what are the favoured establishments?
Well, again, at secondary school, a lot of schools now are running buses that pick pupils up in central London or on the edges of London on a Sunday night to take them back out to, for example, St Edward's, Teddy's in Oxfordshire. Bradfield College do the same. I believe that Marlborough College now has a bus that runs on leave weekends and half terms to and from. So that, again, makes it really easy for parents to have their child at home for the weekend or for half term and then pop them on a bus in London and send them back to school when they can stay at home and perhaps enjoy some family time with the younger children without having to commute their child to and fro. And I think undoubtedly, with school fees heading in the direction that they are, that will be a major draw for London families. I mean, schools are having to market themselves and make it easier for parents to buy into them, essentially.
You've mentioned fees. What's your sense of the view that parents may take if Labour wins the next election and imposes, as it threatens, VAT on school fees?
Yeah, that's a massive question. And without getting into the real politics of it, it's not entirely clear what Labour's proposed changes are right now. So I wouldn't like to really speculate. But what we do know is that schools are in scenario planning mode at the moment, and the smart schools will be monetizing their assets far more effectively and making cuts on costs without affecting the education of their pupils. But it will be their role really to pull back where they can and make money from different sources wherever they can, so that they don't have to pass huge fee increases on to parents. But it's really important to remember as well that parents paying for private schools are more than used to annual fee increases anyway. So I think this year the average was about 6 or 7%. We've heard of some schools who put 10% on school fees last year and are doing the same again this year. So parents are used to this, and hopefully the schools that are well-run and well-resourced will ride this storm.
Now, I get a sense of education being part of London's irresistible allure to everywhere in the globe. When international parents, people who are settling here to run businesses, work in our banks and financial services, are the schools a key issue for them?
Yes, I think they are. But like all parents, they have to accept that as part of their relocation package, they will have to be flexible with schools, because, of course, London schools in both the state maintained and the independent sector are full to bursting. So an American family can't land in London with their 14 or 15 year old child and expect to stroll into St Paul's. That's just not ever going to happen. They will need to have a flexible approach and be prepared to consider many, many options. Of course, the international schools that exist have a far more transient society, so that's always an option. And when families are globetrotting, they often prefer that anyway, because they can transfer the curriculum from country to country.
So they can arrive in London with a big list of what they want in a school. They may not necessarily achieve it. But what would be on that list?
Oh, what would be on that list? I mean, I think if you are planning well in advance as a as an international family, and let's remember as well that some people will be relocated here out of necessity, but many families from overseas are moving here essentially as education tourists to educate their children in London's best schools. And I think going back to our very first point, the latter of those two groups will be looking for the big names. They want their children educated at Westminster or St Paul's or Eton or Harrow, Wellington, those big schools in and around London. And I think the cachet and the kudos for some families is the most important thing of all. But as I've already said, as education consultants, what we always say to people is, your child's happiness has to be at the forefront of everything you do. So always keep your options wide open. Aim high, but also have some middle ground and some really safe options that you will also be happy with. And don't get too carried away with the dinner party cachet and being able to say, well, my child goes here.
Well, Melanie, thank you for your insights. Now it's over to you, Donovan. You head up Winkworth Barnes. Now, Barnes is famous for its village green and particularly for its schools. For those who don't know this part of Prime London, where it is, why it's important, could you take us on a quick tour?
Sure. Barnes is quite special, and I must admit I'm quite biased because I've lived and worked in Barnes for over 20 years. But if you look at the land registration figures or the sales, it's been almost exponential over the last 20 years due to supply and demand and the demand for such a special area. So I always say to people, if someone didn't know anything about Barnes and I blindfolded them and I teleported them through on a Saturday morning and let them walk around, I'd say 99% of them wouldn't think it was based in London. If you take the topography of the area, where the River Thames meanders, Barnes is nestled in there, so it has three riverside fronts in Barnes, the north, the west and the east. And it's blessed with the wetland centre, over 100 acres of wildlife, and which was made up of reservoirs from the Victorian times. And it has the high percentage of independent shops compared to anywhere else in the country. So you have a fishmonger, you have your cheese shop, which makes it quite unique. There are a couple of big brands like Marks and Spencer's, but as I said, large majority are independents. And there's the Barnes Community Association, which helps set up the Barnes Fair. We have just over 10,000 people coming there every year. We have a food fair, which a lot of the top celebrities, Michelin star chefs, come to. And things like the film fairs, festival, and the like. There's also the OSO Arts Theatre, which has a lot of fringe entertainment, things like a comedy store, music, painting, dancing, drama, which all makes it part of a village atmosphere.
We know that St Paul's is the top educational establishment in Barnes. Can you tell us a bit about that, but also all the other schools in the area?
Well, they say the two best things you can give your child is love and education. And Barnes is blessed with schools from all the way from primary schools like Barnes Primary, Lowther School, St Osmond's, which is a Catholic primary school. And the two other schools which are very sought after and in demand are Herodian, which go from pre-prep all the way through to A-levels, and also St Paul's, the like. They used to have, used to be called Collar Court, but it's now St Paul's juniors, and they'll take the children right through to until A-levels. So very, very blessed. And obviously on the periphery, just beyond Barnes, you have Ibstock School, Godolphin, Latimer. So we're very blessed with lots of choice.
Now, I want to know about the price of admission to this part of London. Let's start with a flat. What would a two-bedroom flat set you back?
There's quite a broad spectrum on basic pricing with Barnes. So if you start off, say, with a one- or two-bedroom, they start off about $250,000 up to, say, $500,000. And you can get some flats which go right up. I sold the last record, which is $6.5 million for a penthouse at the top of William Hunt Mansions on the river.
So a river view really attracts a premium?
Very much so. Barnes doesn't have that many flats in any case. So it's majority of properties are, I'd say 80% of properties are houses.
And a nice four-bedroom family house on one of the best roads, how much would that cost?
I would say anywhere between 2.5 to 3.5 million. And then, of course, prices go right up into the premium roads like Castlenau and Lonsdale. The most expensive house in Barnes Village, which, without being egotistical, I sold as well for 10 million. And they go anything between 7 and 10 million.
And higher interest rates, are they having any impact?
We found an impact on mainly on flats, because the buyers in that level will be first-time buyers, that people whose jobs would be very affected by the high inflation, high interest rates, instability, social, political, and economic instability we've had, and the greater impact of Ukrainian war. I think everyone in the planet's been affected by it. So it has an impact on flats. We've definitely felt that.
What's the rental market like?
Well, you've heard the term hen's teeth. It's very much like that, because number one, there's very few rentals. Because people who move to Barnes tend to stay in Barnes. They will buy their first property, they'll upgrade it as the family expands. When the children go off to university or leave home, they'll go and then downsize. And so there's not much rentals. They go within days. And rentals vary anything from a studio to a one-bedroom, around about £1,500-£2,000 a month, and can go up to some of the top properties as much as £35,000-£40,000 for a detached, quite a special property for that price, but they are available.
And this is happening against the background of the closure of Hammersmith Bridge, which is the main access route into Barnes.
I get this question on a daily basis. And I think when Hammersmith Bridge, which is a beautiful bridge, historical bridge, one of the few iron bridges in the world, people were quite upset. But they've all settled down. And if you ask, 95% of the Barnes residents are quite happy for the bridge being closed. You can cycle over it, you can walk over it. And the 5%, which obviously need to drive, it means an extra 15, 20 minutes on their travel time in the morning. But a high percentage of people travel by train from Barnes Bridge to Barnes. So overall, it hasn't really had an impact on prices.
That is extraordinary. Now, we're just about out of time here, so we need to start just asking you for your final views. Once people have had their children educated in Barnes, is it just so great that they stay on?
Most certainly, yes. There's definitely a tendency to stay, because you have all the benefits. As I've mentioned earlier, you have independent shops. It's a very safe area. It's one of the safest boroughs in the country, in London. And that was cited by the police report a few weeks ago. And, you know, just myself walking to an appointment, I walked past yesterday, I took some photographs of a swan with five little cygnets, you know, and you just think, well, hold on, am I really in London? It's very special. And there's lots going on, you know, the Olympic Cinema, which was built as a cinema. It then became EMI Record Studios, and all the great musicians over the years recorded there, including the Beatles and the Who and Barbra Streisand, and I can rattle on a long list. And there's so much activity, and also for the old generation. So there's no need to go to the West End, where you've got a lot of quite well-known people living in the area, which obviously add the flavour when it comes to, for example, you go to the cinema, there'll be Q&A afterwards from some of the actors.
So it's important not just to fall in love with the school, but to fall in love with the place. Would that also be your view, Melanie? Don't just think about going somewhere because the schools are great. You've got to love the place too.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I think, you know, London has an amazing network of public transport. And you will find that although it's wonderful, if you could, for example, live in Barnes and educate your children at St. Paul's or the Herodian or another very nearby world-class school. But actually, if you can't do that, they can very easily get on a bus, a train or a tube somewhere to get to another great school that is the right school for them.
Right. So the message is, it's got to be about the place where you live as well as the schools. Well, that's all we've got time for. So thank you, Melanie, Donovan and Dominic. And I think we've all learnt about how important schools are to London's prime markets, and that's the way it's going to stay. Thank you for listening. Do subscribe and join us for next month's podcast when we'll be looking at another key trend in the market.
This has been the Property Exchange podcast. For more information, go to winkworth.co.uk or find us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. The producer was Tom Maddox. For more episodes, make sure to subscribe to your favourite podcast provider.